Hello and welcome to DNF1 with myself, Glenn Martin, and Derek O'Connor today.
Hello, everybody. How are you doing? Nice to see you again.
Now, we were at Zandvoort today for the qualifying, and it was quite a good session. We had some red flags and stuff. We'll cover them off. Right, let's get started. Q1, we've got Mazepin and Schumacher, the two Haases, right at the back, as expected. And then we've got Kubica placing the Kimi Raikkonen, who is obviously retiring, as we highlighted yesterday, retiring at the end of the season. Or maybe we'll be back for a couple of races so he can retire on 350, Derek, yeah?
There's a possibility. That was his plan. That was his plan. His plan was to go out at 350. You know, let's set a benchmark for everybody else to try and catch.
I don't care about Formula One, he says, but he's like, yeah, you want to race to 350. Yeah, I think I'll do that. This isn't helping.
I'll go with 348.
Yeah, I want a nice round number. That's it. Sounds like Kimi. Certainly sounds like Kimi. So we've actually got Kubica in, and I mean, at the end of the day, he's dropped in at the deep end. Kubica, 18th on the grid. And then we've got Vettel in the... The thing is, Derek, the Aston Martin, I don't know whether it's the characteristics of the track just don't lend itself to the Aston Martin. The Aston Martin, they're still trying to get some downforce in it. Maybe sand on the track. It's undulating. Similar problem, I think, to what they're having with the McLarens. I think that's an issue, but we'll speak about that in a minute. But Vettel back in 17th. Now, these guys are all being moved up one place because Perez, who's in 16th, has got to start for the pit lane. He had a really poor qualifying 16th. Derek, I look at that and I can't understand how, okay? In my head, I'm thinking that Red Bull that Max has put on pole position, and even Perez has improved how he's driving that car, and we've seen him actually doing really well, winning races, and normally qualifying quite well up. And this, I don't think it was a mistake. He says, oh, I just missed out on getting round there. It was busy in places, but that I don't think that's an excuse. All they needed to do, fill him up with enough fuel to do 3-4 laps, stick him out in softs, and tell him just to do the best he can, and he'll get into Q2. But how does Perez wind up in this situation? Derek, is this a case that Red Bull focusing solely on Max and Perez's side of the garage are just like, do whatever you want, you know? Which I think is a completely wrong thing.
I think that might have a little bit to do with it, because it makes Max look absolutely fantastic, you know, because he sticks it on pole and his teammate. But it's happening too many times with too many teammates.
Yeah.
It's not, you know, sorry. I was just going to say, I think Red Bull have done this for years.
Well, that was going to be the question. The question would be, Derek, do you feel that this is an ingrained problem in Red Bull? As you say, we've seen it with past drivers. Is Perez just receiving the same sort of lip service for the pit wall? Did Red Bull not realise that the crap that they've now dropped Max into at the front, which we'll talk about, because his day could go terrible just because Perez isn't about. Perez in fourth, fifth, sixth maybe could have helped him. But this is just...
Perez in third would have helped him, you know what I mean?
It's opened Max up to that. Did Red Bull not realise that if they want to win the constructors, they need two drivers up there? I mean, how did they screw this up so bad? There's no excuse for this. There isn't. The cars that are in front of him, we've got Tony Sunder there in front of him in the AlphaTauri. We've got Latifi and a Williams. We've got Norris. We've got Stroll. We've got Russell. All these guys should have all... Now, the excuse could be that it's a short lap and he was trying to get in the fastest lap. It's Q3. I don't know. I don't know why Perez is in that position, Derek. The car's clearly fast enough. I mean, Max put it on pole on under 1:09, and Perez, 10.5 seconds, 1:10.5, and he's out in Q1. It's just not acceptable. And Red Bull
Perez
have got to take... No, he's not that slow. Red Bull have got to take the blame for this. It lies at Red Bull... Yes. The management, the setup, whatever they're doing, it needs fixed. It really does.
Yeah,
he is starting obviously for the pit lane. It means that he's obviously able to. I guess there was no point starting 16th when you can take a new engine, take a 10 place grid penalty, and save yourself doing that later on in the season. But from there, realistically, I guess a short lap. It's 72 laps. People will fall at the wayside. All of that's fine, fair enough. He's going to have to be lucky with maybe a safety car to get back into the fight. Apart from that, it's damage control. Try and get in the top 10. We'll put you on hards and see what happens, Perez. That's what it's come down to. They just don't seem to care.
We'll put you on hards to start with so you can go long into the race. And then we'll put you on a bit of softs at the end so you can get the extra point from doing the fastest lap. And if you can get in the top 10, and as many places you can move up in the top 10, we'll give you that. Red Bull's championship to lose, and they're doing a damn fine job of that.
They are. Look, we'll talk about the ramifications for Max once we get to the top 10, and we talk about actually the front runners. As I mentioned there, we've got Tony Sunder sitting in 15th. Latifi, who brought out the red flag in Q2, and I think part of the... Because Russell also brought out the red flag. So Russell was pushing, and to be fair, he was trying to get into Q3, and it just lost it. Managed to get the car back to the garage, but a red flag there, and then Latifi a matter of laps later on, and unfortunately I think that's why Norris is sitting in 13th. Not that I think Norris was having a great weekend.
No, but he would have probably got through into
you know. Derek, the irony is, if he'd got into the top 10, it probably would have pushed Ricciardo out of the top 10.
Yes. I know. It's catch 22 sort of thing, you know. But
I want to get your opinion on this. Right, so Norris and Ricciardo, the performance of the car this weekend isn't great. And I think part of the problem is that the track. The car's difficult to drive, especially for Ricciardo, but it's because it's aero package, the way it's set up, the philosophy that McLaren have built into that car over the past 3-4 years is clearly not making it the easiest car to drive. And in these conditions, windy, undulating track, it's a short lap, so it's maybe showing up these problems. Do you think that's maybe why Norris and Ricciardo are kind of off the pace at this track?
I think Norris is definitely off the pace this track, because, I mean, last week, except for the crash, he'd have been on pole last weekend, you know. But this weekend, it's like chalk and cheese. It's just not driving right for him. He's felt it. Maybe he's felt it a bit himself, you know. Maybe after that shunt last week, he's not as get him as he was, you know.
Well, the other thing then, Derek, is it comes to the aero characteristics of the McLaren are different to a lot of the other cars. And unfortunately for Ricciardo, he's not getting on top of it. But the problem he has, it's fine because we can turn around and say, look, 2022, new car, it'll be fine and Ricciardo will come back, right? But unfortunately, the design philosophies that these people have got at McLaren, some of that has got to be leaking into the 2022 car. Some of the wee tricks and this, that, and how they work the wind and the air over the car will appear again in the 2022 car. And Ricciardo, it's not going to be a magic fix come that car. Maybe there will be some, but I don't think that'll be the case. And the other thing, Derek...
You're right.
The other thing I want to ask you about is Ricciardo at McLaren, right? We like him, we love him, we've seen him do amazing things in the car. But if it wasn't Ricciardo who was putting in this performance for McLaren, say McLaren had brought in a new driver and this was the level of performance we get to the season so far, what would we be seeing? What would you say?
I would be saying, right, well, they've made a mistake here, and they've got halfway through the seasons, they've realised they've got a mistake. Let's see who they're announcing as this driver's replacement for next year. He was only on a one-year contract.
Yeah.
It sounded like he was getting a two-year contract, but he's only under a one-year contract. So who are we getting? Who are we going to have? I wonder if we can get Daniel Ricciardo to drive.
Yeah.
Because he's been doing brilliantly, you know. And I think that's what's going to happen. I think Daniel will turn up next year in the new car.
I hope so. Yeah, I hope so. The problem lies that
he'll spend most of the winter in the simulator driving it, the socks off it, to work out how to alter it.
He needs to, Derek, because even although McLaren took him on, and I don't think we've spoken about this in the past, where McLaren didn't think he would have the problems he has to drive the car. Clearly the car is difficult to drive, and it's maybe the design philosophy is obviously fed into feedback from Norris and maybe Sainz and stuff. So he's on a back foot. But all the people that have moved into these cars, he is having the most problems. And all the people, he was the one that we least expected it. He's on 56 points.
Come on.
So he's actually on it's half of what Norris has.
But this engine, the engine that's in the car, is new to him, right?
Yeah, it is.
He's been driving Red Bull engines, well, Renault engines, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Most of his career, right? So now he's having to take on a Merc engine, and it's slightly different for him. And I feel that he hasn't got to grips with how this works. He got used to the style of the Renault engine, as he went from Renault at Red Bull into Renault at Renault.
Yeah.
you know, so.
Look, that's a fair point, Derek, but not when you're one of the top 20 drivers in the world. I just, if it was anybody.
He can drive.
I know, but if it was anybody else, as you said, we would have already lambasted him and been like, this guy needs to be out of the car. We'd have been asking them to do a Red Bull and get shot at him after the mid-season break. So I think Daniel's got to count his lucky stars, where he is and how he's getting on. But unfortunately, even this weekend, we hoped at Spa. It got a good result in Spa because of the qualifying. But here we are at a track, dry track, and a track that he should be setting the heather alight on and still struggling, eked into the top 10. And again, because of the red flags, he's still quite a bit off the pace. Danny, get the finger out. We love you, but you got to start showing. And Norris being behind him this weekend, as I say, it might be a bit of a hangover for Spa. Or, as I said, the track, the wind, just is not suiting the car. A bit like how it's obviously affecting the Aston Martins, I think, as well. Stroll in 12th, Russell in 11th, brought out that other red flag. I think Russell will go forward for there because that Williams seems to be developed in some way, shape, or form. Yeah. I mean, the past four or five races, it's as if they've bolted on stuff, and we've not heard much about it. He looked like he was, I'll be in Q3, no problem, until he slid off the track. We've got Ricciardo in 10th, Alonso, Ocon, the two Alpines sitting together 9th and 8th. Then Giovinazzi, who's been told, get your finger out, son, or you're not going to have a job here next season. They gave him three races, right. Derek, missed it in Spa. He's qualified 7th. Do you think he can do anything over the next two races? That's a bit of flash in the pan. Or did he benefit from the two red flags?
I was going to say benefited from the two red flags, but we will see how far he can go backwards. And no, come on, he's got to be working on staying as high as possible, right?
Yeah, he is the main
concentration for the team this weekend because Kubica, yes, Kubica's in there, but they're not going to be working on Kubica, right?
No.
If Giovinazzi is going to stay for another season, he's got to stay inside the top 10 and get points.
Derek,
if he doesn't do that,
do you think he's got it in him though? I've seen nothing. A couple of all right performances over the past wee while that spark here and there, but nothing like the level that Russell's putting out. And that's what he needs to be putting out. I think they've turned around and said, we're going to give you three races to try and actually save your career because then it looks like they're being fair with him. I think the decision's already made. I think Gio's gone at the end of the season. Doesn't matter what he does in these next two races.
If Alfa decide to ditch Ferrari and pull a Merc engine, I think Giovinazzi's gone anyway.
Well, they're sticking with Alfa Romeo. They're sticking with them for another season. Do you think that would be on the cards, a Merc engine? I mean, it's still Sauber. When you peel back the Alfa Romeo, it's still a Sauber. Do you think that would be the way they would go?
Well, they could do, because, I mean, they're taking Bottas on.
That's a fair point. That's a good shout, Derek, actually. Talking obviously Ferrari engines, we've got Sainz and Leclerc. Sainz did really well, let's be honest, after his prang with the barrier and missing out on quite a bit of the session. Sainz has managed to put on 6th in Q3 and he's really challenging Leclerc. I think actually out of the two, you'd be hard pushed to see who's the better driver there. Although Ferrari's putting all its eggs in the Leclerc basket, I think Sainz is actually showing Leclerc that, you know what, you know the mutt's nuts.
Yep.
Derek, tomorrow, how do you see Ferrari actually going tomorrow? They're in this battle with McLaren because when we look at the standings there, there's only 3 points between McLaren and Ferrari. And this, again, this is a prime opportunity. We spoke about it in Spa. McLaren had a prime opportunity to stick it to Ferrari. And now the rules are reversed. Really,
I'm going to make a bold statement here.
Go, Derek, go.
And I'm going to say it's going to be in finish order, but not named. Ferrari, McLaren, McLaren, Ferrari. Might be people in between them, but I definitely think, yes, one of the Ferraris will do well, but the two McLarens will come through and pass one of the Ferraris. So it'll be 1, 2, 3, 4, like that.
Right, now I'm curious.
So there's a bold statement.
Who's gone backwards then?
It'll be Leclerc that goes backwards.
Ooh.
Because...
That's interesting.
Yeah. Well, I think Sainz has got more to prove.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's in the shadow of Leclerc. But I think Leclerc hasn't got the power that they think they have. I think they looked out with red flags and things like that.
Let's talk about Gasly next. He's set 9th in the Drivers' Championship. He's on 54 points. He's actually behind Ricciardo by 2 points. And his qualifying this season has been fantastic. How is he not converting those fantastic qualifying positions
into points?
He's languishing back there behind Ricciardo. And we know the season Ricciardo's having is a nightmare. How is he behind them?
They can qualify, but they can't race.
Do you think?
And I'm not saying it's... No, I think it's the car, not Gasly. I think Gasly is a driver and he can do it.
That's fair. That was going to be the next question, Derek. I was going to ask, is it the car or Gasly? But then the raw pace of the car is there. Where's it losing out when it comes to the race? Yeah,
it's fuel weight. It'll be the fuel weight. It doesn't transfer right across the car. They haven't got it balanced enough for them to drive it. And if you notice, they do start to come back towards the end of the race when the car's getting less weight in it. Yeah. So it's a weight problem.
Hopefully it'll be fixed for 2022 and we can actually see Gasly doing well from these positions. Mm-hmm. Because he is a great driver. I think Red Bull never give him the chance. And again, at that poisonous atmosphere that these drivers sit within Red Bull, Gasly needs to get away from AlphaTauri. Right, we come to the top three. And we mentioned Perez, obviously. Perez isn't going to be able to help Max out. Max is in first, Hamilton second, Bottas third. Do you think tomorrow that Mercedes can just use strategy to get Hamilton in front? They can use Bottas as a blocker?
If Bottas is wanting to play, if they're wanting him to, you know, not be retained at Mercedes as a Albon, I mean a reserve driver, you know, I think we're going to have to say that he'll play the part, he'll help him get past, he'll do a jump, and he'll get in front.
We've got to get to this point. We've got to talk about the track and why. This track is 72 laps. It's not the widest track. I don't think it's a track that we can really talk about overtakes. There is two DRS zones, the main straight and obviously the first bend. Maybe you can get something done up the inside there and maybe again going into turns 10 and 11 that's DRS. But it's a bit Mickey Mousey in places to say, well, it's a clear overtaking place, you know. And I don't think in 72 laps we're going to see that much overtaking. We'll see people binning it because this track has got gravel, it's got barriers, they're close to the track. I don't think we can turn around and say the track is actually going to be kind to these drivers if they put a wheel off. We saw that in qualifying, we saw it in practice.
It's going to bite hard.
And I think actually if they can get Bottas in front of Max after they've done the initial pit stops and just hold him up, Hamilton can then jump him at the pit stops. But do you think Hamilton will look tomorrow? Hamilton will be on the inside, obviously, off of the line. Do you think Hamilton's thinking, into this first bend, I am going to have to send this up the inside if he gets a good enough start? Because otherwise, it's going to be follow my leader until the pits. And unless they can get Bottas in position, because they don't have to worry about Perez. We've spoken about Perez. It might come in towards the end, but it's obviously mid-top 10 or something. If everything goes as we would expect. But really, Bottas can be the blocker, and then Hamilton can get past Max at the pit stops if Bottas holds him up enough. But this track, Derek, I look at the track and I think it's a fun-looking track. It looks great. It's a bit like Portimao. It's undulating. But do you think we'll get a race tomorrow?
No.
No?
No.
I didn't even have to wait.
No. Choice of two things for tomorrow, right? Okay. We're either going to get a procession. Everybody following on, everybody going, oh, I better not do anything. Can't risk my engine, can't risk my car. Or we will have carnage and people will be dropping out left, right and centre. Strange cars dropping out of places. People dropping it on corners that, you know, shouldn't drop it on corners and all the rest of it. That's the two choices we've got. And, you know, I definitely see them being fun on that first corner.
These guys with 100 plus kilos of fuel on board and try to get around an undulating track that in some places is blind crests. I think you're right there. I think we're going to have some red flags. We're going to have safety cars tomorrow. And how it pans out at the front, I think Hamilton has got to go for it in that first bend. That's his best opportunity. He can't rely on Bottas. Yeah. He can't rely on anything else except himself. Right, Derek. Other news, Toto had mentioned about Albon. He needs to come out of his Red Bull contract before they would let him drive for Williams. That's a fair point, though, isn't it?
Yeah, he needs to be released from his Red Bull contract. And Toto was quoted as saying this, you know, well, I think there might be underlying concerns sort of thing. I think he's trying to get his driver out of a one contract into another contract. I think Williams have said, we need to get Albon, we need to get a decent driver in replacement before George can move across.
Yeah,
that's where we're at. That's where we're stuck. And I think it's all started with Kimi, and maybe all depending on the result tomorrow, there might be an announcement tomorrow. Nah. But I think we might leave it till the end of...
They're just dangling a carrot in the end of the fishing rod, Derek. They'll wait until we go to Italy and then they'll announce then. I think that's it. Right, folks, join us tomorrow after the race. The race is at 2 p.m. tomorrow, and that's GMT time, so adjust accordingly. And it should be a dry race, windy, sandy, ice cream, Coke, I don't know, what else, other fizzy drinks are available.
Whatever else we can find out.
Yeah. There's nothing else for me to say, except it's goodbye for me.
And it's goodbye from him. Enjoy the carnage that will be tomorrow, whether it's us slating off the fact that it was a snooze fest or whether there was actual carnage on the race. Take care, folks. Bye for now.
This has been a Beautycat production for DNF1.